Now, I'm going to sort of jump right into it. A cheers to everyone out there. I'm enjoying, as I often do, some delicious mellow corn. So cheers to that. We have the following slightly distressing message from Wild Bill Flint, which is that he's doing good, but that he wrote, coded, meaning computer programming, and then he ate a fucking box of Do-Si-Do Girl Scout cookies, and he feels he's gonna die. Well, maybe what you need is to wash that down with a cold, refreshing glass of Clamato. Actually, no, don't do that. Then you really feel like you're gonna die. Had, in a certain sense, a little bit of an interest. It might make you feel better. It might. It seriously might. I mean, look, here's the thing with that Clamato, okay? Sorry, this is an offshoot, but who cares? My show. I didn't like the taste of that stuff. It was, like, yuck. And I'm going to be 1,000% honest. The fart maelstrom that I had from that afterwards was terrible. But it didn't make me feel sick. Like, it actually was kind of okay in my stomach. Black Cat Poppy says, cheers, I feel like I gained 400 pounds. I had 3/4 of a bag of tortilla chips, then a plate of mashed potatoes. Black Cat, you're one of the most just fascinatingly bizarre, like, in my head, when I just imagine you doing these things, it's the most cartoonishly wacky, crazy, I don't know, like,
oh, wow, a whole bag of tortilla chips?
And then she's crunching on the potato chips just somewhere out of nowhere. Like, Kentucky Fried Movie style. Just this giant plate of mashed potatoes just, like, comes out of nowhere and is just, like, whump! And, like, hits the table and, like, a bunch of shit gets all knocked over. And then she's just like,
ooh, mashed potatoes!
And then just starts dipping the tortilla chips in there and just eating this random pile of mystery sky potatoes. I just feel like that would be you. Yeah, you say that you're normally wacky. I find that very easy to believe. Oh, no, you didn't combine. You just had chips and then taters. Oh. So, yeah, a little bit of an interesting weekend in that I did actually do a Friday nightcap. And some folks stopped by and said hello. I was exhausted and tired, and I wasn't in a great mood. And I had a different friend that I talked to today, and they said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had a shitty week." And I felt like, I talked to her today. I said, hey, I want to clarify something. It wasn't that I really had a shitty couple of days or a shitty week. As a matter of fact, it was actually not that bad. Actually fairly decent. Actually pretty good, if I'm 100% honest. Bill says, oh man, I'd have popped in. Yeah, you gotta watch those, notifications. It was a random sort of rare kind of late night thing. I watched a movie and then I was like, man, I really need to talk about this. So I just decided to come on and do a little show. Black Cat says, I wasn't in a great mood today, not my normal self. I mean, it happens. We're all human. You're going to have those days. But what I told my friend is, I said, here's what happened Thursday, Friday, in particular. It wasn't that the days were shit. It wasn't that I had insurmountable problems or anything like that. The problem was, over the course of those 2 days, everybody was take, 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 take. And I ran out of juice in the bucket. I was like, I just can't. Just can't do it. Just getting burned out literally on anyone asks me another question or wants me to do a new thing or wants another piece of time or mental or whatever, like, I just can't fucking do it. I'm done. I'm done. I'm just fucking out of it. Not out of it as in not mentally coherent. Out of it as in I am temporarily leaving the game. I'm fucking text messages and shit and Instagram and Twitter and all stuff. I'm like, I'm just turning this off. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm tired of fucking typing on my goddamn phone. I'm tired of fucking hearing these little bleeps and bloops and having constant questions and constant requests for shit. The tank was fucking empty. I was done. So I went to the gym on Friday. Man, I just had an absolute brutal workout on Friday. And afterwards when I got home, I felt better. I mean, I had sweated it out. So I was like, hey, you know, I did a thing for me that was a thing for me. And then when I got home, you know, I initially was going to stream some video games. And then I was like, but even that, I'm like, I feel like this is another take. I don't want to stream. I don't want to talk. I don't want to play with other people. I honestly, for as much as over the course of the last, I don't know how many months, I have just craved human contact, I hit the, can you all just leave me alone, please? And so I needed it. And that persisted a little bit through this particular weekend. Black Cat says, when I was working, you were the person people came to with everything. And I'm assuming that that had no joy to that. I mean, I'm a little bit of the same way. And I'll go through the detail of some of those requests. I don't want to go into too detail. And I also told people, so another one of my very dear friends, when I talked to them about this, they were a little bit worried that they had done something wrong because they had questions about something. And while they were asking me those questions, I said, hey, like, I really can't talk to you right now. Like, I'll get back to you on this later. And characteristically, I'm usually not that short with my text messages, but this was pretty much I can't deal with you right now. I can't talk to you right now. Like, I'll talk to you later. And it took a long time to get back to them because I had a giant stack. Like, I used post-it notes in a lot of cases to you know, keep track of that stuff. Quick little tasks, because otherwise I forget. And what I like and what really works for me is the physical act of I finished or completed a task or an ask or whatever it is. And when I'm done with it, I can pull the post-it note down, I can crumple it up and throw it away. It's like the physical act of that's a spinning plate, I'm throwing off. Like, it's done. And I at one point just had them all lined up. I was like, this is ridiculous. Look at it. I built like a whole surround fortress of these notes of shit that everyone, hey, could you do this? Can you look into that? Can you look into that? Can you help me with this? Hey, what's this thing? Hey, what about that? Hey, this thing. Hey, can you join this? Hey, can you look at that? Hey, can you do this thing? Like, God damn it, man. Like, and like Black Cat said, you'd be okay and then you would suddenly hit the wall. And I mean, I have the capacity to do a lot of things. As a matter of fact, it brings me great joy helping people and being needed and working on a lot of projects. But I hit the wall. And when you hit the wall on a thing like that, you know, and I could tell, it wasn't that my days were bad, but I got to that point of, I know I'm not going to respond, deal with, talk to, and respect people the way I normally want to. I'll probably not conduct myself in a manner that is consistent with those people's friendships and relationships. So I am turning the phone off and I am going to just politely say, I'll talk to you a little bit later. I think more people ought to do that sort of thing. What do you think? And so I had to explain again to this person, no, you didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with it at all. But when I'm in the middle of suddenly having a bunch of stuff to do, if I can't, like, if I can't talk, I said, I don't like, I know what it's like to get ignored. I know what it's like to send messages and make requests and ask things and then not get an answer. And that can be frustrating as hell, especially when you're like, dude, I know people have their phone. What the fuck? I said, so I like to be very prompt with giving people an answer. I like to give them a quality answer. I don't like answering things with just one word level responses. That's just not me. So I said, again, you did nothing wrong, but just know that when I get tapped out to the point that I cannot communicate with you the way that I would like to or need to, you will get a, hey, I can't really talk about this right now. I'll talk to you later. And so we worked through all that, and that was all fine. But that just brought to light to me a, Bill says, the importance of intentionally curating your time and attention cannot possibly be overrated or overstated. And it's a hard skill to learn. It's a hard thing to get into the habit and practice of. And then they're like, you know, I have another friend who will go nameless who says sorry a lot. Oh, sorry, sorry. I'm like, stop it. Like, you, like, I appreciate the sentiment, but this particular person has a linguistic crutch that they can't stand. And maybe we can go off on a side shoot on this if you'd like to discuss. We don't have a lot of viewers, so let's keep this low key. And so this Wild Bill says, yeah, I suck at it. If I'm confronted by that kind of thing and I'm wrung out, I'll snap. Hey, I've done it. I feel like most people do it and have done it. I've just gotten a little bit better at recognizing when that is coming. And so if I say now, like if I gently start giving the, hey, I can't really deal with this right now, or I'm not necessarily interested in this right now, and you get the, well, I'm going to keep bugging you about it, and I'm like, please don't. Like, I'm not somebody who is shying away necessarily from a decision because I'm indecisive. It's, I can only make so many decisions and answer so many questions and perform so many tasks and give so much of my time and attention and everything else in a given stretch of period before you're like, you know what? I'm gonna go by one of the rules of my own podcast. Just fuck off. And I don't want to do that either, right? So Bill is saying the sorry is a manipulation a lot of the time. And I will agree with that. I will totally agree with that. But I have also another little perspective crutch thing on this too. And I'm curious. I'm very curious. This is going to be a two-parter. I wasn't really going to talk about that today, but we might as well. Because why not? Black Cat's Poppy says, too long to explain, but my field is very technical and deadline-driven. Competition was heavy, so everyone's livelihoods depended on one another. My job is much the same. It's very technical. There's a lot of moving, complicated pieces. You have people who need answers to things that they literally cannot get themselves. And so they have to either come to me or one of my other team members. And every now and then, whether it's miscommunication, panic, confusion, XYZ, 1, 2, 3, you will suddenly have everybody asking for everything all at once. And, geez, I just had, can you give me an estimate on the time it's going to take you to finish this other task? And I was like, well, here's the thing. The time estimate that I would give you would have been initially based on the progress of and including today. But since you also were one of the people that derailed me with several, hey, cigar earlier in the day, along with everyone else, you should be the first to know. I'm now eight. I'm a day behind. So my estimate of where I'm at is accurate, but like, it isn't a let me Google. It's, you know, it's truly, yeah, I got to do this. You can't look this up. You don't know the answer. And like I say, I like helping people. It's just, you get that wall, the well runs dry. And so, Black Cat says not getting interrupted. Yeah, getting interrupted. I mean, Bill, we talked about that hilarious comic with the programmer's comic, right? And, you know, it's like, finally get back into the groove of stuff, and then you get this bloop. Hey, can we do a quick talk? Can we do a quick talk so that you can let me know where your progress is on this thing? And I'm like, sure. Yeah, let's have that talk. Let's do that. All right, podcast people. You're going to take a brief little break here, and then we will be right back. So, Black Cat made a comment in here that talked about meeting with clients and hypnotizing them that everything was okay. Well, in this case, we have a big initiative that's coming up. And so, as part of this initiative, we had things that we needed to investigate that I, as a person in the position I am in, is one of the few people that would be there to wrangle and collect certain pieces of information and ask certain pertinent questions. So, we go to have this call with this client, and it was the most Duplo block level meeting. Number one, that started with a thing where I'm like listening to it and I'm like, number one, this is given, like somebody just poured cold water down my spine, because the thing you're talking about is so far outside of everything that we're building. So I was like, I don't mean to interrupt, but this thing you're talking about, I don't think we need any of this. And I was telling my coworker, I was like, that we don't need that. We're doing this other way, right? Oh yeah. Well, you know, sometimes when we first getting started with a client, they want to see, I'm like, no, can we just skip to the thing that does the thing I need to do? I don't need to go through this. Like, that's fine. And, as I'm saying this, my coworker sends me a message and he goes, I'm so sorry for including you in this meeting. This is like Duplo level. Your mouse has two buttons. There's a left button. And I'm like, oh. It's like, can you just get to the point? Has the thing at the fucking end of this? And so anyway, that was yet another take. And it was fine. And it was fine because out of that meeting, I actually got some information I really needed. And what was hilarious is as the guy was going through and talking about this stuff, and he's like, oh, well, you know, I'll have to look that up. And I think maybe we can find a document that can send this to you. I was just taking screenshots and just had screenshots of what he was doing, and I was able to replicate all of it after the fact and get it done just fine. So I don't need any of that to get my shit done. So it was beneficial in that regard, but it was just while I'm on that meeting and on that call, I got a text message from another friend. Hey, can you review this thing and watch this and let me know what you think? And I'm like, actually, no. I just don't have the bandwidth for this right now. I'm sorry. Black Cat says, lucky it was artsy too, so it was okay that your hair was messy and I dressed weird. What is the weirdest outfit you ever wore to work, Black Cat? This ought to be a great answer. She'll be like,
it was old dried snake skins that I picked out of the river, and they were smelly.
But Bill, I see you chiming in with an ooh, ooh. What you got? So, the whole take, you know, like, compartmentalize, and if you feel like you're getting to the point where you're running out of juice, you can politely tell people that you need a break, that you'll get back to them later. Just make sure that when you say you get back to them later, that you actually get back to them later, which I did. And one of the other hilarious pieces of that was I then today am like, I want just a chill day today. Like, I can just refresh and relax today. And then I get a text message that's the classic, here's somebody using their phone to take a picture of their computer monitor, and a, hey, I'm getting this weird error. Do you know what this is and how to fix it? Question mark. Bill says that he wore a full-length black robe with a 4-inch diameter pentagram you made around your neck. It was fun. You wore that to work? That wasn't like a Halloween party. Was that like a Halloween party, or was that just like, hey guys, here for the Monday morning donut water cooler meeting? Hilarious. To your first fucking programming job. That's classic. That's absolutely classic. Black Cat says, and this is in regards to what is the weird, she wore leftover jeans and couldn't figure out what the lump was in your leg, so you started pulling it out and it was quote unquote dirty underwear. Oh, Black Cat. Admittedly, it was Halloween, but you missed the whole we're not dressing up in the office email. Whoopsies. Sorry about that, everybody. I mean, I did that too, but I kind of did it on purpose. I knew nobody else was dressing up, so I did. I'm like, and the other funny thing about that was technically I didn't violate the dress code, so I couldn't really get in trouble for that. You know, I just look weird. Used to wear a fez and told everyone it was your thinking cap. Then you brought in fezes for everyone to use when they had a problem. I mean, you sound like you're just ripe for a Silicon Valley job at this point. I mean, just switch out the fez for a fedora and you're all set. Bill says he's done that with socks. I'm assuming pulling lumps out of his pants. What was it going back to? The conversational crutch of the word sorry. So this particular friend, they can't stand and will have a berserk button. And if you don't know what a berserk button is, it's about what you would expect. You can always go look that up online. But one of their berserk buttons is the phrase, everything happens for a reason. And when we were discussing that and they were getting upset and sort of throwing in that it's this religious thing and this and that and the other, I said, well, because you're fired up, I don't want to say I disagree with you, because I think in some circumstances that absolutely is the case. So, but I don't think it's always the case, and here's why. People are often conditioned to needing to say something so that if a bad and terrible thing happens, rather than just say, what an absolute tragedy, and I'm here for you if you need anything, and then just holding them and saying nothing or whatever, I feel like the phrase, everything happens for a reason, becomes a crutch phrase. Because they don't know what else to say. And they don't like the uncomfortable silence of not saying anything or not knowing what to say. And between occasional emotional stress and pressure, I feel like oftentimes that's said when there's a terrible accident or medical disaster or death. oh, well, it was, you know, things happen for a reason. Because, I mean, it's like word, oh, what's the word? Like, not word spam. It's chirps and whirls because they don't really know what else to say and feel like they need to say something. Yeah, Bill chimes in with the, or it is what it is. It's just a semantically void filler. And that's what I told her. I said, I don't think most people, when they say that, mean, oh, this horrible death you went through? Yeah, well, there's a great reason for that. Like, no, I feel like what they want to say is something, and they just have no idea what to say. And I told her, as I have gotten older, have learned to say just that. Wow, this is so absolutely terrible. I wish I knew what to say to comfort you, but I'm just here for you. And that's it. You don't have to say anything else. And if it's awkward silence at that point, let it be awkward silence. And I feel like sorry is often used in the same way. And I read a book by a person I won't name, and I won't give the name of the book because I'm just not going to, because I don't like them and I don't necessarily want to promote the book. But what I will say is that there was a good piece of advice in said book. And what that comes down to is don't apologize for things that you don't truly intend to apologize for. Also, don't apologize for things that you have no business necessarily apologizing for. If I'm walking down the street and a bird shits on my head and you say, wow, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Well, like, it's void filler because I feel like what somebody really wants to say is in long form, wow, that really sucks that a bird randomly shit and it shit on your head. And boy, do I feel for your level of embarrassment and disgust at having said bird poop on said head. But it's easier to just go, wow, I'm sorry that happened. And I said, in this particular person, you have gotten to the point where you say it so much, you now say it all the time. You're just constantly saying, you're sorry for this, you're sorry for that. I'm like, stop it. Stop saying you're sorry for all these things. Number one, I truly believe that there's some subconscious ownership of problems at that point where saying you're sorry for something kind of like draws it into you a little bit. What are you sorry for? You're like, that's fine. You, it's not you. And this was like, oh, you know, I didn't know you were so busy. I'm sorry about, like, wait, what do you mean you're sorry? You would only have to apologize if you knowingly did it on purpose. But I'm like, truly and emotionally, this isn't a thing you need to be sorry for. I gave a simple explanation. I'll get to you on this later because I'm really busy. You respected that by not messaging me again. That's the interaction. What are you apologizing for? What's to be sorry for? There's no wrongdoing. There is no you're at fault or you like. Stop saying you're sorry all the fucking time. Just like the platitude, void semantic filler of saying it is what it is, or oh, everything happens for like, you know what? Maybe think about it for a little bit. Re-eloquent yourself. Think of something else to say. And if you can't, then just say that. And instead, just let there be a quiet silence. Because sometimes that's honestly refreshing. Well, I understand that, Bill. I have somebody who does use sorry like that. This is not one of those people. I feel like she truly has just gotten programmed herself to the point where, oh, I'm sorry, like, you know, like, I know somebody, and I'm not going to name them either. There's nobody who's ever been on this podcast and has never listened to it and will never listen to it. And that person really and truly uses sorry as a manipulation technique. Black Cat has had a bird shit on her head and on her shoulder. Yeah, I've had birds poop on me a bunch of times. It's fucking, I hate it. Fucking disgusting. I hate it. You went out with the girl who got shit on by birds 3 times during the date? All right, we need this story. Bill, go. Start writing. But in this case, it's just, it's little Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's like, stop it. Stop it. Stop saying you're sorry for this stuff. You know? Oh, hey, I pulled up a little farther because there's some mud there. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. Sorry? What are you sorry for? What, fucking... And so I feel like there's a lot of these things, whether it's getting your own self burnt out on take fatigue. Like, if it's happening, just be upfront with people and just say, look, no ill will meant towards you, but I'm really running low on the resources to handle more requests. And I got to take a little bit of a break, but I'll get back with you soon. I'll get back with you tomorrow or whatever. You know what? And then just turn the fucking shit off. Do not disturb mode. Do not disturb mode on the phone. And I put it away. And I went and worked out and did everything else. And I didn't check a single fucking word. Like, I'm out. I'm out. I'm turning it off. I'm shutting it all off. And it's the same sort of thing, too, with some of those other crutch phrases. If you don't have anything to say, or you're confused about what to say, or whatever, you know, then maybe just... I don't know, give him a hug or something. Or just say, damn. That has to be very uncomfortable and painful for you. And if there's any way that I, as a friend, can alleviate some of that agony, just let me know. And that's that. You don't have to say anything else. Bill says, early in my 20s, me and a buddy met a pair of girls at a pagan campout. Well, we took them out on a couple day dates in Manhattan. She got shit on outside the pizza place, in Central Park, and outside a really cool store named Stick, Stone, and Bone that sold... Well, you can figure it out. She was crying in hysterical fits by the end of the afternoon. These birds just really... What did she do? Like, offend the local crow population? They're like, let's get her. Black Cat says, pretty lucky I worked where people knew each other enough to understand one another, but then you worked in a corporate environment. Boy, was that dysfunctional. Pagan Campout, I've been in a few. They were sending her a message. And so the other part of this whole decision fatigue thing, it's the COVID separation. It's that every piece of communication now is a digital bleep bloop. And they're interrupting. And then I gotta stop and I gotta look at my phone. I gotta stop and I gotta look at this tablet. I gotta look over here at this fucking screen. And I gotta stop and I gotta look over here. Used to be that when I was in my office, if I had a natural break, whether I had solved a problem or done a thing or whatever, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get up and stretch my legs and go get a coffee. In the process of getting the coffee, if I was walking back and saw other people who also had moments of disengagement, you could just say, hey, by the way, I'm on track with that, you know, with the thing I'm building for you. We're on track. We're good to go. So I'm going to get back at it and I'll talk to you later. All right, cool. But you can't do that now. Now everything has to be a, well, hey, can we, like, catch up a new thing? Okay, so you got to schedule a meeting for, let's just say that happens to be, like, 3:15. Well, if I naturally get to a break point, for whatever reason, at 2:50, what do you think I'm going to do? Go back and really dig into something and try to get myself back into the work zone for 15 minutes? No, because it's fucking exhausting. Going in and out of the zone like that is fucking exhausting. So then what I end up doing is you end up sitting there going, well, shit, now what the fuck am I going to do for 15 minutes? I guess I can fuck around, read an article, do whatever. And that time, that sitting and waiting for that, is eternity time. That 15 minutes feels like 3 fucking hours. Oh, hey, man, this other meeting's running long. Sorry, I'm late. Okay, so that's another 5 minutes. Oh, hey, I'm just about ready to jump in. I got to do this and that, blah. Okay, great. So now that's 10 minutes. Well, now that that's 10 minutes, now between that and the other time, that's now 10, that's 20 minutes. Now it's a half hour. Before you know it, a 15-minute conversation that was scheduled, which should have been a 5-minute at best. Hey, here's where I'm at. Talk to you later. See ya. is now near a 45 minute to an hour long fucking disruption out of the day. Oh my God. I cannot stand it. And it used to be that when you were doing that stuff face to face, okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go get a coffee. I'm going to walk around, stretch my legs. As I'm doing that and I'm having the side conversations with people, I could pick up my phone and I could answer some of these fucking questions. But now there's no point in doing that. It's just everything bleeds and blends together and you're just sitting there bombarded with this endless fucking deluge of requests and messages. And like I say, in every single one of them, you have to sit and you have to fucking type it out. Oh yeah, I'll use voice to text sometimes and just not give a shit. And if it's a garbled, incomprehensible mess. But like, Jesus. Otherwise, some of them, you're like, but this is more than this. Like, this isn't a like, you asked a complex question. This is a complex question that's probably more suited for a fucking telephone call. But I don't really also have the time to fucking call you on the phone because I'm on this fucking phone thing meeting over here. So yeah. Watch those conversational crutches and watch that take fatigue. If you have to put a pause on it, put a pause on it. I'm learning that now sometimes for some folks and for some people, I may just have to unfortunately ignore that until I'm either off the clock or on scheduled break periods because they're just constant. They're just constant now. Black Cat says you drag the hell out of the day and that so completely sucks. It 1000% fucking sucks. The lack of personal contact is absolutely leaving people frayed at the edges, comments Bill. 1000%. And not just the lack of that human contact, but again, there's a lot of little things that cue-wise, hey, if my other guy was in the meeting and I was like, look, I got to look at this spec and I got to find out if we are good or if we are fucked. Now, if I'm walking through the office and that guy's in a meeting, I could give him a thumbs up or I could point to him and just nod and just give him I could do this. Hey, we're good. Well, I can't do that now. I can't do any of this shit now. Everything has to be this deliberate fucking stop what you're doing and type of oh my God. I fucking can't stand it. I can't fucking stand it. Black Cat says, the way things are being done right now is going to leave people mentally and emotionally tired. It is, and it has, and it's going to get worse. So, again, maybe you can take this as a little bit of a PSA and a little bit of an explanation on my own behavior. If I ever tell you that I can't talk about a thing right now, don't take that as a thing that you have to say sorry for. How are you supposed to know? I don't have the stream on 24/7. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know what I'm in the middle of. So if I say, I can't talk to you right now, I'll talk to you about this later. Don't apologize. Please don't say you're sorry. Just say, okay, cool. You know, whatever. Or shit, maybe you don't have to say anything at all. As long as you got the message and you get it, you don't need to reply. I'll get you back. I'm good about that. As a matter of fact, that's one thing I pride myself on is making sure that I talk to friends and respond to requests and everything else. So if I say, I can't do this right now, I'll get back to you later. And just be good about doing that, you know, to other people as well. Bill says, see, but that's only the beginning. What's only the beginning to what and what do you think is the next step? So I've got, hold on here. So yeah, the total medication. So I think that's just part and parcel of, you know, you make these requests for stuff. They all now have to be filtered and filed in everybody's little digital mental filing cabinet. And it becomes difficult in a workplace that is near entirely remote in a lot of cases, and a lot of other social interactions and planning too. It was another thing when you were at the office and you're passing by, you're like, hey, I'm going to grab a beer after work. You want to join us? Yeah, where are you going? We're going over here. Okay, cool. See you later. And then you rush off. Well, now if I want to ask that to somebody, again, I have to pull up their name, I have to type them a fucking message, and that's going to bleep, and it's going to interrupt them. And man, it's just, who wants this to be like this? My God, it's the fucking worst. Instant messages were cool and kitschy in 1997 and 1998 when it's like, ooh, do you have AIM or ICQ? Wowee. But now, holy shit. Fucking, egads. Bill says, people being left emotionally drained after all this. I'm not sure what the second order cascade effects are going to be, but it's going to be far worse than we realize yet. Black Cat says, I truly believe that, Bill. Oh, I am. I agree with you 1,000%. It's just the beginning. The trickle down effects of everything that has been done and has happened and everything else. Just wait for the echoes of disaster that come reverberating back from all this. It's 1,000% going to happen. And I think you're going to find people having more and more meltdowns. Maybe not even a meltdown, because it wasn't like I started screaming and yelling at people, but you're going to have people who get to the point like I got last week. They're not going to know how to deal with it, and they're going to start snapping, yelling, screaming, drinking themselves to death, drugging themselves into a fucking oblivion, doing whatever. It's not good. It's not good. So that is the end of the nightcap for today. Take that as some, hey, in that regard, friendly advice. That's me hopefully giving some friendly advice. And just know, if I ever say, hey, I don't have time for this or can't do it or whatever right now, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. Nothing you need to say you're sorry for. I'm just being honest. Hey, I can't do this right now. Okay, well, talk to you later. No problem. No worries. You know, like it's not a blow off. Like I, you know, if I'm anything, it's not ineloquent with expressing myself. You know, whether sometimes I know that that's using short phrases or typing out things in a longer style. But again, I'm honest. If you know, I try to eliminate a lot of those semantic void filler, cruft nothing, you know, fucking birdseed statements, because I think it makes us all intellectually and I'm going to say communicationally, although I don't know if that's a word, expressively, it makes us emotionally and expressively lazy. So embrace some of that awkwardness. And if the awkwardness gets to the point, again, where you're like, wow, this is so terrible and it's such a tragedy, I am at a loss for words, then you can say just that, and then you can tip your fez like Black Cat's Poppy. Boy, this is such a tragedy on a magnitude that I'm at a loss for words, sir. And then you tip your fez and you give them a hug. So, that all being said, for those of you who are listening to this as a podcast, that's going to do it. As I say always at the end of episodes, stay safe, keep the faith, and all of that good shit. Make sure you get yourself some rest and avoid falling victim to the take fatigue. All right. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have yourselves a good night.